Welcome to the Power Walk Ministries broadcast. We're so glad to have you tune in today as Reverend Paul Cannings continues with the series, The Mindset of a Survivor. There's a wide spectrum to problems. We all handle problems and work through problems and losses differently. Even so, the many examples in Scripture that God has provided us, Joseph, for example, gives us strength and enables us to trust in God as they did. Dr. Cannings strives to lift our focus from our problems onto Christ. Here he is now with the message, Committed in the Chaos. Let's listen.
I love the stories of the Old Testament. I just love them. I could go through the stories of the Old Testament forever because I believe when you look at the Old Testament, it brings to life the principles of the New Testament. Think about it. It's from a human level. Being in a prison, in a dungeon, basically, you don't have running water and lights like we have today in a jail cell. How you like being down there for 12 years? 12 years. I don't know if they brought him up for sunshine every day or whatever, but Joseph is in this situation for 12. Can't call nobody, can't send no Twitter, no nothing. There's no phone call. There's no family looking for him. As far as the family's concerned, he's dead. For 12 years, there's no contact. How do you maintain your mindset in that? This is the kind of situations we would see that Peter is going to reflect on when he think of the fact that he didn't. Peter has got that going on. As I read 1 Peter, I could tell that that is still real in Peter's mind and that has made him so determined in how he walks with God now. Because when Peter comes out, he said, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus Christ. I love you. And he says that Peter, the first time out of the hatch, Peter is put in prison. You don't hear Peter talking about nothing but going right back out and preach. He was determined that that situation will never happen again. And I really admire Peter for that. So when we come to this person, Peter, and we're looking through this passage and talking through how do we come through these painful, difficult, stressful times because of relationship issues and people turning on us or doing things to us or family members not getting along or church members not getting along or people on the job just creating one stressful situation after the next, and life just wears you out because it's emotional, it's mental, and it wears you out physically. How do you not just fall apart? I love this passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 because Peter is reflecting on the process involved so that he doesn't make the same mistake. He told us when we read through 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 13 yesterday that he got the power. In other words, who is he that will harm you? Who? Peter says, I got the power. At the end of the day, I'm never going to forget. It's not what I'm going through. It's who I'm going through it with. That's how I'm going to work this thing. It's interesting sometimes, when I travel, you build up all these miles and stuff like that, and my son has the same name. So sometimes when he goes there to catch a plane, they think he's me, and he's not about to tell them he's not. So when they say calling for Paul Cannings to do an upgrade, he just walks to the counter. He says, are you Paul Cannings? Yes, ma'am. Here's my ticket, Paul Cannings. He gets an upgrade. He is functioning as me, even though he is not me. This is what we are talking about. Paul would say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I no longer live. Colossians chapter 3 says, we now live in Christ who lives in God. And we have the Holy Spirit in us, so set your mind on heavenly things. So when we come to this whole thing, we did this yesterday, we learned the focus that we must first have is whose are we? And commit to therefore walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. I want to keep walking with God because when I abide in him, I bear much fruit. Apart from him, when the trials come, the pain come, I'm not going to be able to withstand it because he's telling me that he's going to back up off of me because the wages of sin is death. He backs up. He doesn't lose our salvation. He just does not have the same impetus moving in and out of our lives like he used to do because we're not surrendered to him. And he gave us a free will. One of the things he gave us when he made us in his image is a free will because he has a free will. So he's not going to go against the free will he gave to us. He didn't do that with Adam and Eve. So the result of that, we end up not having that inner power that convicts us on a regular basis in a strong and powerful way when we go a different way because we keep focusing on not abiding in him. So we become like a leaf torn off of a tree. We wither up and we're good for nothing. So the focus is, I know whose I am, then I need to start focusing on how do I stay within the course of functioning for Christ. Am I going to sin? Yes, we're going to sin. 1 John chapter 1 says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So the first, if we say we have no sin, then the first sin we committed was that lie. But when we are living in the light and we are walking in the light, we will end up having ourselves cleansed and purified because we're quick to repent, we're quick to turn, we're quick to confess, quick to fix it, we're quick to say, God, I've sinned, not dressing it up, not saying all kind of excuses. God, I've sinned, we get right back to doing what God tells us to do. No matter the pain, the sacrifice, we deny ourselves, whatever the cross is, we pick it up and we follow him. Well, folks, Peter is saying that is what the issue really is. That's the discipline that Peter lacked. He's saying that's the discipline we must have. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, he says, for who is he that will harm you? We dealt with the who. If he be followers of that which is good. Now, I love this word, and that is the word zealous, having a zeal. You know, like Paul had a zeal for God. Paul, you're broke, man. You can't make it. I've learned to do all things through Christ. You know, you can't change Paul from ever losing sight of pressing towards the mark of the high calling. And that's what we need. He's saying, keep that zeal, that eagerness, that desire to passionately want to serve God. One of the things I love as kids were small and my wife and I, we kept saying to each other, let's focus on building a good relationship with our children. Just a good one. Get into their lives and their heart. That way we can disciple them and grow them to be what God wants them to be. And then the whole thing about obedience and not listening is over because the child is growing spiritually. The child is responding out of a relationship they have with us because we're not just telling them to be in our lives, we're going to be in their lives. And one of the things I loved one day when my son did something, he came home and he said, Daddy, I'm sorry. I never forget. He says, Daddy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for disappointing you. I really didn't mean to. Your heart gives out because you could see from the relationship you've established with the child. And my wife is looking at me going, I believe he means it, babe. And seeing that in his heart says that it was out of the relationship that made him feel disappointed in himself for not living up to the standard that he wanted to live up to because of his relationship with his parents. You see, that's the beauty of this text. See, because Christ comes to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? It's not, Peter, man, listen, you just sit up there and you said you would die with me. You sit up there cutting a soldier's ears off, all this other wonderful stuff. You stayed in the fight and then you backed up and then you started cursing. After 3 years, I discipled you. None of that conversation. Christ came to the relationship. That's why Peter starts off with, who is there? Who? It's a relationship first. It's a person. We sometimes we make Christianity so much stuff. So I'm off track because I was into the church, not the person. See, if the church doesn't do everything, then I'm into Christ. Then I'm going to be a part of resolving it so I get better, not bitter. If the marriage isn't doing all the things that it needs to be, if I'm the husband, then I'm supposed to be Christ in it. If I'm the wife, I'm supposed to be the church in it. And if I got an unsafe husband, I can sanctify my home, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if I choose to live for God in it. So I don't lose the focus of fixing my eyes on Jesus like the long list of Hebrews chapter 11, summarized by the writers writing to Jewish people in Hebrews chapter 11. Of all the things that went through, say, here, you got a cloud of witnesses here. You got a cloud of witnesses. So now with this cloud of witnesses, run the race. And whoever God decides to set before you, run it. You're just focusing on running it, not the pitfalls on there, whether there are hurdles on the track. Run it. Because God is the who. God was the who for Abraham. God was the who for David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Not the Lord is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, it was the who that led them to want to do the good. Like a child seeking to please the parent. This childlike faith wanting to please the parent. So to serve whatever the parent wants. Because they know the parent has their best interest at heart and the parent loves them dearly. I don't want to disappoint them. I remember being in college and many times there's so many temptations there playing soccer for the folks in the Caribbean, some football. And I can't tell you all the time I thought about Jesus. The person who I thought about not wanting to ever disappoint was my mom. She was so proud her son was going to college, the first kid to go to college in a family of eight. For her to be disappointed, I knew it would be painful, painful. So I kept thinking, I can't do that. Can't do that. Because the person I thought about a lot was my mom. Folks, that's why Peter is saying, Jesus Christ came to me and he says, Peter, do you love me? So Peter is saying, who is he that will harm you? If he be followers of that which is good. Followers has these three things attached to it. Three things. One, I don't have my own agenda. Two, the word that means to cleave so much that if you take two pieces of paper apart after you glued it, ain't nobody straight. The third aspect to following is the part that Peter struggled with, dying. I must die to me. I don't matter so much that I have to win the fight in my marriage. I don't have to matter so much I have to win the fight at the church. I don't have to matter so much that I have to be right on the job and show people this and that. What I have to be is pleasing to Christ. What I have to be is to seek to do what God called me to do, no matter who thinks is right or wrong. When you choose to do right, that's when you suffer. Sometimes when people see suffering, they say, oh, that person must be evil. That's what Job's friends did to him. You did something. And Job's saying, no, I didn't. And he stayed the course. And as a result of that, God stood with him and refreshed him because Job kept doing good. Because he kept saying this. This is the powerful thing about the book of Job that just drives me. He says, let me die that I might live. Throughout the whole book of Job, he's crying out for Christ, an intercessor. But since there's none, let me die so I could come before you. So he could just tell me what to do and I'll fix it. It was because of the who that he sought to do good. Folks, sometimes our compass is off. We want this from God, and so we do this and we do that. No, just fall in love with him. And nobody better to love, because the love we give him came from him, because only God is love. Stay focused.
Thank you, Dr. Cannings. What matters most is who is in us and who walks with us through life. God's presence is with us, even in the darkest time. Maybe you'd like to get a copy of this series to pass on to a friend or family member. So visit powerwalkministries.org. Also, if you're facing a life challenge and you feel alone and you need to learn more about what it means to walk with God, then give us a call at 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Cannings. It's been a pleasure coming into your home, maybe your car. It's been a blessing to serve you. And I hope that you will become a partner as we seek to continue to serve God in an effective manner. Many times he opens up so many doors, but what we lack is resources to get it done. Oh, you can't go through every door, but you know the ones that are great fit for our ministry to touch lives. So I pray that you will become a Power Walk partner to impact lives. Thank you for listening. It's been a blessing serving you.
That's powerwalkministries.org. If you'd prefer to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 920517, Houston, Texas 77092. Dr. Cannings will pick up on this tomorrow and continue on this series for the rest of the week. Be sure to join us. And now remember to fix your eyes on God above all else and walk with Him through all that life brings your way.